This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Trial for a man charged in a 2020 stabbing at a Boulder gas station will start next month after a judge denied a request for a delay. Welcome back in. It's Good Morning NoCo. I am Tanner Schwint, my co-host Brian Carey. Angel Padilla doing the production work here today. We're brought to you by Air Solutions, and we are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. The man accused has pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity to two counts of attempted murder and assault. The man had requested a trial delay amid a bid to fire his private attorney and be appointed a public defender, according to the Boulder Daily Camera. Prosecutors argued a delay would severely hurt their case due to the age of the case and the number of unhoused witnesses. With the delay rejected, if the man moved forward with firing his attorney, he'd have to represent himself, which this is going to be an actually interesting one to talk with Havla about coming up in a few minutes when she's in here as well, because you get this and then you got a disagreement with your attorney trying to fire him, but if that's going to hurt the case, because there's a number of homeless people who saw this incident happen when this attempted murder happened, that's tough to track the people that are homeless. That's tough to get them, you know, to be at the courthouse at the right time and the communication with the homeless witnesses. So I completely agree with the judge in this of no, if you fire your attorney, you're going to have to represent yourself. We've come this far. You can't throw this at the end.
It never turns out well when you represent yourself.
As personal experience?
No, absolutely not. I have actually never been in a situation where I've needed Havala.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, and how many years has it been since you haven't needed her?
Ever.
Uh-huh.
All right?
Uh-huh.
No, that's it. You mistake. Mm-hmm. My past isn't that checkered. All right? Yeah, there's a lot of things that, you know, nobody knows. You know, should I be convicted of things? Yes. But no, we'll just leave it at that.
All right.
My record is clean.
Uh-huh. Officially.
Ish.
Officially.
Ish.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about that story when Havala's in
at
7:35.
No, it is interesting. Just the shenanigans in a courtroom of what goes on, not saying that this is that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the turnover and the things that can happen where you think you have things set and where it, you know, the judge just reaching the level of
enough playing, enough BS. It's time to go.
Yeah.
Is what I'm understanding of this. And it's happened 3 years ago. You can't just keep pushing it off.
Yeah, I know. Justice doesn't move real swiftly, does it?
No. It doesn't.
It's amazing how slow those wheels can turn in things.
Which, I mean, I understand it on one hand, and on the other hand, I wish it would move faster. I think some of it is caught up in paperwork and just trying to purposely delaying things, and now we'll get to this later on. But I also, you know, if it's taken longer so that you're getting the right verdict, the right decision, and everything coming out of it, I understand it. If it takes a little bit longer, good, do it. Because the last thing we want to do is have anybody innocent put into jail. So yeah. I do understand that. This was a story, this next story news for Northern Colorado here on Good Morning NoCo that we told you about a couple months back when an Evans police sergeant shot a man and killed him for wielding a sledgehammer. So this Evans police sergeant has been cleared of criminal wrongdoing in the shooting of a suspect. The Weld County DA said the sergeant was justified to shoot this 40-year-old who was chasing a woman with a sledgehammer on the 3700 block of Salida Court in Evans in February. No bullets struck the man, who now faces charge of attempted murder, assault, and menacing. The woman he was chasing was hospitalized with minor injuries. So it was kind of just a shot to it sounds like a warning shot to me, Brian.
Well, yeah, it does. And is there what's the question here?
If he was right in even pulling the trigger in any way.
If somebody's chasing somebody else with a sledgehammer,
right,
that's really a question. Okay,
I
guess maybe somebody knows something I don't in this, but just hearing that.
But this is how it's set up now. Anytime a police officer fires their weapon at a person, they have to undergo this criminal investigation into them, right?
And I can understand to a point, but there's some obvious things.
Yes.
Did he have a sledgehammer? Yes. Was he chasing them? Yes. Okay.
No, you're right. I'm not laughing at you. You're 100% right. But no,
it seems like that'd be a real easy one. Jerry, you're dismissed. We really don't need you on this.
Down into those black and white terms, 100%. But, you know, I guess, you know, if you're going to investigate some, you got to investigate them all. But this Evans police sergeant has been cleared at no shock of Brian Gary.
No, let me just handle all of this.
I don't know about all of it, but some of it, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the way that you think about things.
Okay.
All right, news for Northern Colorado here. UC Health.
We're not making light of a situation that was very serious, but I mean,
everything came out okay.
Everyone's okay.
The officer did his job.
Sledgehammer is a weapon.
It is.
All right.
Yeah, it is.
A very deadly weapon. It's a sledgehammer. Okay, move on.
UC Health Greeley Hospital can now serve more patients. The hospital expanded its fourth floor, creating a progressive care unit with a dozen beds and a 20-bed acute care unit. The Greeley Tribune reports the new wing opened on Tuesday, and as a result, inpatient beds are now up 70%. During the pandemic, the hospital added two labor and recovery beds and a second trauma room in the emergency room. The hospital has been at or near capacity since it opened its doors in 2019. For more on the story, go to thegreeleytribune.com. But I figured we'd see some of this, and I'm glad they're doing it, the expansion of these hospitals.
Oh, no question. And when this one opened, I had a surgical procedure the very first day that people were in the building.
Really?
Yes.
You were the test dummy.
Apparently. And yeah, there's a story right there.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
An off-air story or an on-air story?
We'll do it off because I don't want to, yeah.
Okay, we'll do it off air.
Yeah, continually cool. Want people to spend money with us.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that sounds good. Okay. We'll do that a little bit later on. But, you know, I go back to not even during COVID, but when that flu was going around like crazy in the kids, at all the schools and stuff, and they were having kids in tents that they were having to go take care of. Do you remember that story? It was absolutely utterly insane to me that we're having to set up rooms outdoors to take care of this stuff that's going on. So, yeah, the hospitals need to. And here's the thing. And I think people get this confused. When I talk about this, I'm not criticizing the nurses and the doctors who are in there every single day working their tails off, what they did during COVID, what they did during a lot of this. Always respect and appreciate what they do. Now, the higher ups, the people who run these hospitals, you got to do better. We should never have something arise in this country where we're having to have kids outside in tents to receive their medical care. And I get it. The expansion, listen, it's going to cost more, but go do it. We know that the most lucrative industry there is out there is in the medical industry, in terms of the higher ups and the prescription pills and what it costs, you know, to even just go get a checkup done. You got your $50 copay, you got the insurance and everything like that. That is such a lucrative industry. Expand on it where at least when crap does hit the fan, you can accommodate everybody, not just a select few. So I'm glad to see that UC Health is taking some initiative and adding some beds in their Greeley location. One last story news for Northern Colorado here. We knew that this was going to happen, and now we've got a price on it. Fort Collins is one step closer to owning the land where Hughes Stadium once stood, the former Colorado State University football stadium. The Colorado Report's City Council approved a deal to purchase the land for $12.5 million. CSU had planned development at the site for housing, but a citizen drive ballot initiative led to the land being rezoned, and that requires the city to keep the 165-acre site as open space. Options include a city park or natural areas. For the full story, you can get to the FortCollinsColoradoan.com, but I'm sure we'll talk with Miles Bloomhart about this as well. But this was one I thought it was interesting, and I still don't know how I necessarily feel about it, because CSU is like, no, we're not gonna sell. We'll just redevelop it, and we'll put lots on it and stuff like that, and the money go back to the school system and things of that nature. The people of Fort Collins stepped forth and said, well, we'd like to just have that as an open area, as a natural area. We don't need no more housing. Fort Collins and Larimer County needs more housing, but I understand
we all need more open space.
I understand the preservation of it, but for people. This is, in my opinion, it isn't as bad as the Wolves thing going on a ballot and having it passed through a ballot without expert opinion on things. But it just kind of makes me raise my eyebrow that a city can come together and say, no, you will buy it. The city will buy it. And that's what it was. It was all ballot initiative. The city council wasn't going to buy this. The city of Fort Collins wasn't going to buy this. And then the people said, no, you need to pony up and go and do it. And that's $12.5 million coming out of the city budget now that they've got to figure out how to do. I don't know if it's going to be tax increases. I don't know how they're going to figure that out. But when people are deciding what the city should buy without having a real good understanding of the city budget, it always just makes me pause for a second and say, is this a good idea to be doing? And apparently the people of Fort Collins think so.
It's totally up to them. Man, I can totally see wanting to hold off on developments.
Yeah.
Look,
no.
I'm tired of looking everywhere completely and seeing homes and homes and homes and less space. You can't find a vacant lot. You can't find a field. Those things are precious to me. So,
for sure. And
the area where this stadium is
beautiful.
Is perfect.
Beautiful. Got real bad memories of that stadium anyways. Real bad memories of that stadium.
I have a lot of great memories.
At Hughes?
Oh.
Oh, my very first girlfriend cheated on me there, so that's why I've got a horrible.
Sorry about
horrible,
that.
Horrible, yeah, it was tough.
I'm sorry you went through that.
Yeah.
I had a lot of great Ag Day barbecues.
Oh, yeah.
I had a lot of great times tailgating there. It was a perfect setup for that, and then wander into that stadium. I had a great time getting flipped off by a member of the New Mexico football team when that was my whole goal, was to get behind the bench and heckle him enough to get him.
Nice. They're just kids,
him.
Brian.
Yeah, but I
they're
was at that
kids.
Time, too. I was
they're
in my 20s.
They're actually not just kids either.
I was in my 20s just getting started.
And I don't disagree with what they're using the land for. And I'm not even saying I necessarily disagree with the people being able to step up and say, you know, we do want you to buy this. But when people who don't have a good understanding of what the city budget looks like says, well, hopefully the city manager and the city council and those people.
That's about it.
Right. But when everybody else says, nah, pony up $12.5 million for this without an understanding of the budget, that just can cause financial problems if this continues on. Now, if this is a one-time thing, I'm sure they're smart enough to figure it out. But it just makes me pause when the general public is telling, spend this amount of money without knowing where the budget is, unless they're okay with tax increases going on. You know, that if that's what the majority of Fort Collins residents want is some higher taxes in areas to pay for this, then good for them. But they got to understand that that's going to happen.
To me, it just kind of shows our messed up priorities, that the fact that this $12.5 million is, where do we come up with that? Where do we come up with that? Oh, Russell Wilson signed again for $252 million. Okay, we can find $250 million to give to athletes, but we can't find $10 million to preserve some land or do other things. I'm just saying, yeah, the financial setup right now is very, very skewed.
It's a fine line in between the privatized organizations and then the government that is at our at our control. It is a fine line. It is funny when you just look at it side by side. 7:20 the time. It's Good Morning NoCo right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Well, the Denver Nuggets come back after being down 2 at the half and roll the Washington Wizards, propelled by a huge third quarter in which they won the third quarter 39-16. They beat the Washington Wizards 118-104. Nikola Jokic on the night, 31 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals for the back-to-back MVP. Jamal Murray, finally, he's coming back up right about now. This is the ebbs flows with Jamal Murray. He's looking like the guy that he needs to be for them to go win an NBA championship. 17 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists last night. You throw in Michael Porter Jr. with 21 points and 7 boards, and that's a pretty good key to success for the Denver Nuggets as they beat the Washington Wizards last night.
Well, they seem to be clicking at the right time.
Well, in the second half, at least. Still down 2 at halftime. I was happy. I was happy to see it. I was very happy to see it. But they're still not back to that level of dominance that we saw early on, right? And that's the level you're going to have to be at. Still a great win. But what I was talking about with Memphis and things like Memphis rolled last night as well, with Ja Morant coming back, getting a standing ovation in the Grizzlies. So the Nuggets are going to have to keep this up. Now they're going to have to go and beat good teams to make sure that they can clinch that number one seed, just 3.5 games above Memphis with this stretch of games coming up. It's going to be a haul. But if you play like this, you're at least going to be able to be in those games coming forward. So Nikola Jokic, another great night last night.
Yes, just as I expected.
I would hope so against a 32-41 team.
That's a decent record, 32-41. It could get you in the playoffs for many years. Could get you in the play-in type of situation. So that's not an awful team. But no, you need... All right. Saying the Nuggets need to beat winning teams to get there was like saying we need to outscore other teams.
No, don't throw me in there with
Smoltzy.
Don't throw me in there with Smoltzy. John Smoltz on the broadcast for the WBC the other night, but no, I mean it's a good win, and now like as Angel wants to spin it, they've won three out of their last four that they've gone on, which is not really a spin, it's true, but when you look at the deeper side of things, I still have some questions on it. That was a great thing last night. So they're still 3.5 games up over Memphis. We compared the two schedules. Memphis by far has the easier road the rest of the way. The Nuggets have some big ones coming up against Milwaukee and the Sixers. And by the way, Washington's not even in the play-in. That's what I was really waiting to go and try and disprove there. But I thought you may have been right. So they're close, but you
Let
are
me
right.
Just tell you how comfortable I am not being right.
How
all
comfortable
right?
are you, Bri?
I 37 years of marriage. All right? You think that comes by fighting for who's right? I quit caring about being right a long time ago. What will create peace? That's what I'm looking for.
Forget the peace part, but will you cut the quit caring about being right a long time ago?
Yes.
Can you cut that for me, please?
Absolutely. I would campaign on that. Sir, what are you going to do about this? Well, I'm sorry, ma'am. I quit caring about 30 years ago. That's when it hit. So, you reach that point, it's a beautiful thing. It really is.
The Nuggets back in action coming up on Saturday night at 7 o'clock against the Milwaukee Bucks. So they get the win last night, but on the ice, the Colorado Avalanche fall to Pittsburgh 5-2 last night. And again, no Cale Makar last night for the Colorado Avalanche. At this point, I think they've gotten to the point where, Brian, they're trying to pull pull those levers right now and say, okay, we don't need Kale. Do we still want to get the number one seed in the Central? Yes. But this team, because Bednar said he could have gone if they really needed him tonight. They thought they stood a chance even without Kale. It was 3-1 in the second period. The Avs came back and scored a goal to open up the third period and pushed it to 3-2. And I thought there was a chance, and it was just a quick little gimme that Alexander Georgiev gave up, and then an open netter at the end to really push this out of reach. But Kyle Fredrickson was on with Brady Hole. Was that yesterday, Angel, talking about the Colorado Avalanche? He said that he doesn't think Landeskog's going to even be back for the playoffs. Is that right? Is that what he came forth with, Kyle Fredrickson from the Denver Post?
Yeah, I mean, he's been updating us with Landeskog, and he's been skating and practicing with the team. He's just not at the point where they're comfortable enough to put him in the lineup again.
Right, and that's what hopefully, once the playoffs get here, Landy can get back and get going. But good and bad from last night. The good, the Denver Nuggets. The bad, the Colorado Avalanche. The great, Brian Gary, not caring about whether he's right or not.
No, I really don't.
You argue with me a lot for a guy who doesn't care if he's right or not.
Well, it's kind of what we do.
It is what we do.
No, and don't get me wrong. You just bring that out of me. I don't do this with others. All right? I have to argue, otherwise I would punch. So that's what we do.
Use your words. Brian, use your words.
That's what I learned.
Speaking of words, Havala with Bruno Lilly Legal. She's got a lot of them to say. She'll join us next on North Dakota's Voice, 103.1 1310 KFK. Stand in the place where you live. Now there's no think about direction, wonder why. Pablo with Bruno Lilly Legal joining us in the Aloe Fiber Studios. Good morning, Havla. Thanks for being here.
Do you mean that, Tanner?
I do mean that.
Thanks
it's always
for bringing
great to
your sweet
you.
Face in here,
Thanks.
Havla.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I said something similar to that. I want to dive in, of course, before we dive in. I did say you and your stupid face.
I need the listeners to rally.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Don't try and start a coup, you two. Before we start, hold on, let me at least get this out, please.
Welcome to my world.
Anything that is said by Havla on this segment and the coming segments when she's on with us is not legal advice. Do not take it as legal advice. It's not being presented as legal advice. If you want the best legal advice, get a hold of her at her law firm, BrunoLillyLegal.com. All right. Thank you for at least getting me out there, Brian. You're so demanding.
I'm trying to be a cooperative partner. I try to enhance the show and give a good program each day.
Okay. You also don't tell your guests that they have a stupid face when they're walking into the studio.
No, I wait until
you
they
made
leave.
A stupid face. That's what, is what I said.
That is not what you said. And in fact, you clarified
I said, what
it.
Was
you did. We had a debate in here, and you did clarify. You're
here's,
guilty.
Here's how it
You're
went.
Guilty.
You go to get the door. She gets a little bit of a smirk on her face. Open the door. I'm like, what's that smirk about? She's like, I didn't make a smirk. I'm like, you had a smirk on your stupid face. That's exactly how I said it. So that is exactly how it went down. Nonetheless, nobody cares.
That's better. Yeah, nobody. Okay, yeah, I think you cleared that up nicely. Nothing wrong with that. Havla, why are you complaining? I don't understand.
I don't understand.
How dare I? I'm going to take my ball and go home, guys.
Okay, that's great. Take your stupid face with you. All right. I do want to get, before, because we got a lot to get into with you, but before we do, I want to talk about this story we had for news for Northern Colorado. Havla, and I know how much you love when we throw random stuff at you that we didn't talk about, but this came across and I thought it was interesting. So they've got a trial for a man charged in a 2020 stabbing at a Boulder gas station that's going to start next month after a judge denied a request for a delay. This man has pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity to two counts of attempted murder and assault. Here's where things got interesting for me. This man had requested a trial delay amid a bid to fire his private attorney and appointed a public defender, according to the Boulder Daily Camera. Prosecutors argued a delay would severely hurt their case due to the age of the case and the number of unhoused witnesses. With the delay rejected, they're going to move forward. And if he fires his attorney, he'd have to represent himself. So they're not going to give him an opportunity to go get this. Is this common for this to take place in the system?
Yes.
It is.
However, the decision not to delay the trial is an interesting one. I can see why the judge made that determination. Really, what it looks like to the judge is if the case is really old, which it's 3 years old, and the prosecution is saying that they would suffer severe prejudice, which if they have witnesses that they've had a hard time getting a hold of that they now finally have under service and are willing to come in and testify, that could be prejudice. And it's not like this is new, right? Like, he's probably had this conversation with his attorney multiple times. So it kind of comes off as gamesmanship when you're, like, a week out from trial and he's like, nope, sorry, I don't want him anymore. I want you to appoint somebody. So the judge is kind of considering all of those things. However, when the judge does deny something like that, there is an inherent risk that that is an error that can be overturned on appeal.
So does this happen quite often when clients, you know, when rubbers really start to about to meet the road, they start to get cold feet and go, I don't think I've got a very good attorney here. I want to fire them and move on. Is that the highest amount of times where people do get fired as attorneys, as defenders?
No, you see that a lot with trial when they start seeing their trial bill, because the trial bill, once you start preparing for trial and then you realize, oh, I got to pay this guy for 2 weeks worth of his time, goes up exponentially. So a lot of people start going, I can't really afford this. I need to have counsel appointed to me. So you see that with private counsel a lot. But there is, in every case, whether you're private counsel or court appointed counsel, every case, once you get to trial, I just call it like the client trial freak out. Like it just happens all the time, before trial, during trial, and after trial. And so it's just something that you have to learn how to manage.
Yeah, when in doubt, defend yourself. 7:37 the time. It's good morning, NoCo.
It's get rich you can hire the absolute best. You can buy your way.
7:38, let's get to the bottom of the hour news and Weather Center.
On your Thursday. Welcome back into the studios. That's the Aloe Fiber Studios. I'm Brian Gary, along with Tanner Schwent, better known as Good Morning NoCo, with our producer Angel Padilla and Havala from Bruno Lilly Legal Inn for our Ask a Lawyer, as we always do on Thursdays, but it's just hanging with Havala is what we should call it. I like that. So, Havala, thank you for coming in today and bringing your wonderful attitude with you helping me combat what I deal with in this dark cloud of a studio each day.
I know, I try. I mean, Tanner's getting aggressive at this point.
More so through time, don't you think?
Yeah.
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 How long have you and I been working together?
It's like over the breaks are outlandish.
They are. I'm glad we weren't on today.
Outlandish. I did have a client of mine that said, you know, that Havala and you guys mean the stuff that you say on air about each other? And I'm like, no, we fight like cats and dogs. But I never know, you know, sometimes you bring the aggression in, and then sometimes it's me. But we do love having you in here and somebody to pick on. So I want to, it's the 60th anniversary of something today, correct?
A couple of days ago. So there was a Supreme Court decision 60 years ago called Gideon versus Wainwright. And basically it was the decision that said indigent people have a right to counsel. Hmm. So it created the public defender system.
Okay.
And part of the reason why I wanted to talk about it today was to talk about the difference between, you know, the private system and the public defender system, kind of what that means. I would say Colorado is really good at it. We have a great funding system. It's not like that in other states. Like, in fact, other states have a number of crises going on.
Well, because that's the stereotype, right? Is public defenders are bad, you know, or new lawyers or attorneys coming in.
They can be new. Prosecutors can be new, too.
Right.
A lot of people start their trial lawyer career as either a prosecutor or a public defender. And that's because when you're in that system, you get to go to trial all the time and basically practice. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you don't really get that practice. And kind of the neat thing about me, I know.
If there is something.
There is. I do private work and I do what would be considered public defender work. I'm considered alternate defense counsel, where if the public defender has a conflict, I get a number of those cases. So I'm always able to go to trial because those are the cases that generally go to trial and you continue to get your practice and experience. And so that's really important.
No, that is interesting. Why did you make – I'm assuming that's your decision to be on that list as an alternate. Is that right?
Yes. You have to apply for the contract, but it's not for everybody.
Is that just for you to keep your game in tip-top shape?
Yeah, I like it because, one, I like to give back, and, two, because it does help me keep up with the experience, because not all my private pay clients can afford to pay for me to go to trial. So the people who don't have to pay for my services are more likely to say I want to fight this case, and then I'm in trial quite a bit.
Right. Well, and you love trial.
Oh, my gosh. I love trial. Yes.
You just got out of trial, right?
I did.
What is that? And we can't dive into specifics or anything like that, but what is it like coming out of a 2 week trial or something like that?
It was scheduled for 2 weeks, but we got done on Tuesday.
Okay. So what is the come down like off of, I would imagine a mental high, like when we talked with you last week, I know where your brain was. It was laser focused on the trial that was going on. What is that come down like off of that?
So there's this time period between when you close and the jury gets the case and your verdict, and all lawyers are just like dead to the world until you get the verdict. You just kind of sit there. And I like walked back to my office, and it was kind of the first time that I had like a group of new employees. And I was like, no, this is when I'm a zombie and I'm going to eat lots of chocolate and wander around, and I'm not going to make any kind of sense until we get our verdict.
Sounds like Brian on a daily basis.
Aw.
Sorry.
No, okay, I am being mean. Aggressive, man.
Sorry.
It is.
Sorry.
It is. No, he just keeps taking shots. But I've got to think that the trial, and I think we may have talked about this before, has got to be like when a performer. You know, I know when I would plan my comedy variety shows, I would spend the time leading up to it, the preparation for it, putting all together of what I think is going to be this dynamite presentation. And you can't wait. I mean, when the time comes and you hit it, you go into a different gear. It's almost out of body like, and yes. Something else takes over.
Yeah,
and the performance goes. But when it's done, I found that I went into just a, I'm exhausted, yep. And I really don't want to think or talk to anybody, and I'm generally a little let down because everything I just built up for is over.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. And it's hard when you've got little ones running around because they want you to pay attention
to
them.
You've got to be at your best for them,
right?
Yeah.
But I get home, and I'm just like, I can't. I just need to go to bed. I can't deal with life. This is over.
Do you generally take a break then after that before you dive into another case, or are you one who likes to... Or does it vary, I guess, from situation to situation of where you're at emotionally?
I need a break, but I didn't schedule a break. I was very lucky because Wednesday ended up being my break because we didn't plan on having that available. So Wednesday I did some, you know, light catch up and didn't really do any heavy lifting.
When's your next trial?
I think it's the first Wednesday in April. Is my next trial.
So, yeah, that's next week.
Yeah, and I was originally set for next week as well. No, it's the
week
after.
Oh, no, it's the week after, okay.
But I was set for next week as well, but that case ended up resolving.
Yeah, and it is just interesting, as again, we talk with Havala from Bruno Lilly Legal about, you know, some of the amount of things that we don't know about our own justice system, because it's not something that I don't think a lot of people think about until you need it, until you're involved in it, right? So when you talk about the public defenders and things like that, so if I'm somebody, I am accused of a crime, I don't have the money to go and hire an attorney, do I get to pick from the pool of public defenders, or are they just assigned to you?
They're just assigned to you. So you have a right to counsel, but unless you're paying for it, you don't have a right to pick your counsel. So you get the public defender that you get.
Okay, go ahead, Tanner.
No, just one quick follow-up. In Weld County, are those public defenders pretty damn good at their job?
Yeah, they are. I tell people when they're kind of on the fence and maybe they qualify for the public defender, I'm like, look, we got people who graduate from Harvard over there. So let's not stick with the stereotypes. If it's something that you need so that you don't have to pay for an attorney, I would apply because there's a great number of lawyers over there that know how to do their job.
I know time's ticking and so forth, but I'm wondering, there's a term we hear all the time. You always hear trial lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
What does that actually mean? And how isn't every lawyer a trial lawyer? It just, to me, you know, as your average dude, it's kind of confusing.
No, and I wonder about that a lot when you hear the advertising, right? Like a lot of lawyers will come in and say, well, we're a trial lawyer, so you should hire us. And I think people don't really understand what that means. But really, truly, what it means is we're tried and true, and the other side knows that we're not afraid to put them to the test, right? So a prosecutor, their case may be iffy, right? And they know that may push them to prove up their case. So they have to do a lot of work to make sure that that case is ready to go. So I will probably get a better offer because they know I'm willing to push them on it and go to trial.
Yeah, it is interesting. Can you stick around for just a couple of minutes?
Yeah.
Got a text coming in with a good question. So 7:51 the time. Let's get the latest in the tech world. Here's Kim Komando. Just a couple of minutes left here with Havala from Bruno Lilly Legal. I want to get into a question from a texter from the 405 here, talking about your ad, Havala. It says, don't talk to the cops because either you're a suspect or a victim. What if you're just a witness, such as seeing someone run a stop sign and cause an accident, or you see someone being abusive to a child or spouse? I know this is one, I'll be completely honest, I do disagree. I understand what your answer is to this, but I disagree with you. But give your answer out there. about whether you should talk to him, even if you just witnessed something?
Well, I think that's up to you. It's kind of like what I said before. When you go through law school, you learn, like, just like being a good Samaritan can put you at risk, similar to being a witness. So you won't ever, well, you'll rarely see a lawyer kind of step up and cooperate in an investigation because you just don't want to be in that role. But, I mean, it's up to you. You don't have a duty to participate or report unless you're a mandatory reporter, of course. So, I mean, it's up to you. I wouldn't.
So what comes next? So let's say they want to report something, but they're afraid of what you just talked about, of being, you know, possibly becoming a suspect, because now the police can locate you there. They can pin you there at the time that it had happened. They call you and say, hey, here's what I witnessed. I'd like to report on it. How does that conversation go? I know it's very broad terms that we're talking. Yeah, they call you and say, I want to report, but I want to make sure that I don't find myself as a suspect here. How does that conversation go?
So they can tell me sort of everything that happened and decide if they want me to reach out to the police on their behalf, which I do plenty of times.
So that's just an extra layer of insurance, right?
Right, because me as the attorney, they cannot use my words against them, right? So if for whatever reason they decide that they're going to arrest this person and bring up charges, like whatever I said to the police isn't a statement by my client that can be used in court. Whereas if my client said it directly to the police, they can use that statement against them in court.
It's interesting. It is an interesting concept as well. Quickly,
do people ever bring an attorney with them when they go in and do say, hey, I saw something with the police? Can you bring an attorney with if you go to give that information?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I've gone. I've gone. I've sent emails. I've called. It's pretty, I mean, it's common in my line of work. I don't think it's common amongst the general public to know that.
Right.
But. Okay.
No, I think it's a good thing. Like you said, it's just insurance. Angel, quickly, we got a minute 50 here. Ask your question the S during the break.
Oh, yeah. You had just mentioned, like, public defense attorneys are just, you know, kind of assigned to cases in which they need it. Are those assignments based off of previous experience or previous trials that relate to that case?
It can be. Once you get to the felony level, the public defender is generally specialized just like the prosecutors. So you have a certain number of public defenders that, for instance, only specialize in sex crimes. And then you have another section of public defenders that, for instance, only specialize in gang cases and so on and so forth. So, yes, once you're at the felony level, there are specialties.
No, I love it. Thanks for the texter sending that question in. Angel, that's a great question. This is Ask a Lawyer, so if you've got questions, of course, but none of this is legal advice. It can't be used as legal advice. If you want legal advice, get a hold of Havala. Don't talk to the cops, right?
Of course.
And call what number, Havala?
You can call us at 720-340-1373 for a free consult. And again, I have Andy LeClaire in my office now taking cases, and he's awesome. So
let's go, Andy.
Feel free to ask for him as well. And you can find us at brunolilylegal.com.
All right. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.
We do love having you in here.
Thanks,
Steve. Even though,
thanks, Havala.
I'll plead the fifth. Hour number three coming up next.